gründen seine Lieb. Wir geben die Ehre nur Jesus und verkünden seine herrliche Lieb. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his love and tell of his love. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of his wonderful love.
Danke. Bitte schön, Bruder Frank.
Gelobt und gepriesen sei unser Herr.
Blessed and praised be our Lord and God for the great privilege that we can be gathered in His name before Him to really hear His word, to hear it as it came forth from His mouth. No interpretation, not an opinion about God's word, but God's word in the original. We welcome everyone in the precious name of our Lord from near and far. One can really say from far and wide. Half of Europe, almost all of Europe is gathered here. Then we have today for the first time in our midst four brothers from Nepal, from Kathmandu, and we have one brother who is working for the UN. Today we really have an international audience, and we are glad for all who are here today for the first time. One brother from Bujimai is here for today for the first time. Who knows where the city is? In the Congo, of course. Where else? Then we have all the brothers here. Brother Gilbert from Paris. Brother Leonard from Brussels. Brother Kupfer from Strasbourg. And all the brethren right and left, just be welcome. Then we have here today special friends from Slovakia. May I say, a man specialized in atomic science, a man whom I met many, many years ago in Moscow when I was preaching there. Yes, that's how the ways of the Lord are. Sometimes one meets people in other countries who are themselves coming from other nations, and behold, the ways of the Lord are just very wonderful. Then we have our special friends from Chile here, and for me this is something very special, that God has given so much grace. You can read it in the internet. More than half of those who belonged to this group there in Chile have now joined the Free People's Mission Krefeld. But this is actually not correct the way it is written there. Nobody was joining. We have no membership. There are only people as members on the body of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And then, be it our brother Schreiber, be it our brother Wagner, or our sister Schurgeli, or whoever they might be, we are just all children of God. And for me, really, a special joy, this I may say here, that God has given grace in Chile, that so many of this fellowship have received and accepted the word of God. And by this, the word did not return void, but it accomplished for what it was sent for. Once again, brothers and sisters, feel at home from Poland, from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, from Italy. Also, this is a special joy for me today. The brother of our brother Trabani is also here today for the first time with his family. Just so nice that God is still calling out, that he's adding. How many are rejoicing that God is still merciful, that people are still being called out and are coming to the knowledge of the truth. Brother Graf gave already greetings from Brother Etienne Genton and from Brother Alexis Barrier. I have greetings from Nairobi, greetings from Brother Pesal, greetings from Brother Daniel from Cape Town, greetings from Brother Motika from Johannesburg, greetings from Brother Terenthal, greetings and again greetings from Brother Sebastio from Luanda, greetings from Brother John from Bucharest, just greetings and again greetings from all over the world, and also from Canada, from the USA. We are greeting also from this place all the brethren and all the sisters. There are really now quite a number of countries who have already an internet connection. And our brethren in Chile, they are listening in three different cities. They are listening today and are having part in our service, which we have here. And then, brethren, in British Columbia, in Canada, in Africa, in Graz, in Bucharest, spread all over Europe and all over the world. Just so nice that we can have this possibility to share the Word of God with all the world. And giving the calling out through the last message by His grace. Who else is here today for the first time? You could raise your hand. Thank you. God bless you.
Ja, natürlich. Ja,
of course, God bless.
Einfach wunderbar. Gott segne dich. Gott segne alle. Gott segne dich, geliebter Bruder. Ja, man könnte sehr viel sagen. Auch noch jemand. Gott segne, ja. Ja. Dann möchte ich
then,
nur ganz kurz
just briefly,
den Bericht geben,
I would like to give you a report of the last missionary trip. It was the longest and probably the shortest. Within 10 days, I visited 6 cities in Australia, and then Auckland, New Zealand, and so within this short time, I had around between 68 and 70 hours flight time, just pure flight time, not the waiting times, not the transit times, just the pure flight time. And if one then follows up this trip, the various stations from Düsseldorf to Frankfurt to Bangkok to Perth in the west of Australia, and then going on to Adelaide, and then onward to Sydney and Melbourne, and then to New Zealand, and then back into the east of Australia, to Mackay. And I tell you, the time difference of 10 hours still comes on top of it. Yes. And then the day becomes the night, and the night becomes the day, But thanks be to God for all the blessings, for His precious and holy word. In Australia, we have now some cities where we have TV programs, 30 minutes per week, and I will not forget it. In Sydney, a couple came to me, very fresh and active, here the lips still a bit painted red, and the lady had still trousers on, and for the first time they heard the word of the Lord via TV, and they were there, and they said, "Brother Frank, God has spoken to us. Don't look on our outward appearance, but may God give you grace to look on our hearts." And this couple, some years ago, they emigrated from Poland to New Zealand, and then they came to Australia. And I heard on their accent where they are coming from, and I spoke to them in their own language, and the joy was just very, very great. One could mention all the cities here and what happened there. We are just grateful to God that He is still calling out, that the last message can be carried into all the world, and this in many different ways, in the various languages, in the main languages, especially in English. English is just the main language. In Australia, one couple said, "Brother Frank, 34 years ago, you have been here for the first time, and at that time we have heard the word and we received it and we believed it, and since then we are serving and following the Lord." It was just so nice if one looks at it and remembers things like this. God has given much grace. The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. So may God bless all our brethren in all the languages and nations, that they carry the pure and true word of God, and this up to the ends of the world. Now just a remark, just returning from Australia, on the next day I stepped into the next plane, flying to Salzburg, Austria, to pay the last respect to our sister Sonnleitner, who went home at the age of 82. And then, just returning from there, on the next day I hopped into the next plane and I went to Romania and then again back. So it really, in the month of August, it really went from city to city and from country to country. In Romania, we had a large meeting. The building could seat 1,200 people, and hours before the meeting started, it was already packed, and the people had to go into the neighboring rooms. Our brothers, and to them belong Brother Auner and the brethren Henrich and our brother, I forgot his name now, say it, here you are in the front, all those who are taking care of that our brethren in Romania are being looked after. Just so nice that all are doing their part. And the rest, which is not translating or doing something, they are just praying and supporting the work of God. To the Almighty God be all the glory. Now, just as an announcement, I have written a brochure. Yesterday it came out of the printing press, and today it is available. We have the request that each one takes only one copy, because the dispatch will take place, of course, in the coming week. And secondly, I have the request to give this brochure really only under prayer to other people, where we are feeling that God wants to speak with them. Not just handing out like this, otherwise we will get too soon into trouble, because here are written some things which some people will not like so much. But the hour of truth has come. And we have said it many times, the greatest deception is in the religions. This all know already. And in the politics. It's just like this. The enemy is still the prince of this world, the God of this world. And he's distributing as he likes and to whom he likes, and has brought all under his influence. There are only two influences on earth. The one is the divine influence, and this is only there where people are hearing the word of God. Because you know very well, politicians have influence through that, what they are saying to the people. They are convincing or they are not convincing. The same in the religions. They are convincing through that, what they are saying, what they are presenting to the people. And they must present it to the people in such a way that they believe it. With God it is so that he takes the people under his influence by speaking to us through his word and leading us by the Holy Spirit into all the truth and revealing unto us the word by his grace. You know very well, all by the spreading and distribution of literature, they were passing on their ideas and religions to mankind. God gives his plan to his people by the offer of grace in Jesus Christ our Lord, and gives us the instruction through his precious and holy word. What is upon my heart for this weekend is just that we take God's word so seriously and are not submitting anymore to any other influence anymore. Everything is, of course, decorated very piously. I have here with me an invitation to Jerusalem. An invitation to Jerusalem. There, a big thing is going on from the 3rd to the 17th of October in reference to Zechariah chapter 8 from verse 20 to 23. And there is really written that at that time 10 men from the nations will get hold of him who is a Jew. Maybe I should read it so that all might know that it is written like this in the Bible. But now the time is not yet here. The time must be here. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 23. Zechariah 8, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Yes, but this must become true first. Otherwise, the getting hold of a skirt doesn't make sense. You already know what I'm up to. Simply not just a religious program, not a decoration with Bible scriptures, but simply becoming a part of the divine plan of salvation and waiting until it takes place. The second thought is, of course, very important. With the pull-out from the Gaza Strip. I just want to illuminate it very briefly by the scripture. Just want to mention it. The Gaza Strip never belonged to the Holy Land. It never was part of the Promised Land. It never belonged to the people of Israel. And therefore, it should never have been populated by the Jews. But because the Holy Scripture foretells that Gaza will be destroyed, it will be completely destroyed, therefore God takes care of that the Jews, who in their ignorance were settling there, that they are being taken out from there with a mighty hand taken out before the destruction comes. It's just so important. In the prophet Zephaniah, in chapter 2, Zephaniah chapter 2, from verse 4, it's written, for Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. And then comes the threatening in the next verses. And here we have it, black on white. It's of course painful when 21 settlements are given up. It's painful when 38 synagogues will be dismantled. It's painful when 32 daycare centers are being closed, when 36 kindergartens will be closed, when 7 primary schools are closed, when 3 high schools are closed. This is all painful, but it must be, because God's plan of salvation is really coming to its completion in our time. It comes to its end. And it's just so important that it takes place right before our eyes and that we compare everything with the Holy Scripture and seeing how also Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Whether now 166 farmers have to be resettled and 800 cows, this is not so important anymore. Important is that the strip is evacuated before the destruction comes. Let us thank God that the time is here now. Let us thank God that He is leading His people already now, that we can see it with our own eyes, that these things are shaping up. Everything else, for instance, if in Belgium from next year on the Buddhism religion will be also a state religion, just as the other churches. When one reads things like this and then watches everything what is taking place, and with the uniting of religions, with the uniting in Christendom, how everything is shaping up, then we can just say, Lord, give us grace that we are ready and prepared. Because when we see all these things, then we know that it is near, even at the door. Last Sunday in Zurich, I was reading from the sermon of Brother Branham, "The spoken word is the original seed," series 8, number 11. And I have noted down some points here which I want to share with you before we continue with our word observation. Brother Branham speaks here of a vision about the sower who was dressed in white, walking around the earth. And he saw a rainbow hanging over the valley, and something was turning in this rainbow. After the sower got his back turned to the earth, and after he sowed the seed, someone was coming behind him, and he looked like a rascal, like a slicker. Yeah. And then it continues here. Then somebody came behind the sower who was sowing the good seed, who was dressed in white, and who, after the old pattern, was sowing, namely a cloth hanged around the shoulder, with the left hand holding it, and with the right hand taking the seeds. And he who was taught it, how to do it when he was 10 years old, he knows how important it is to walk straight while sowing. And at two things, one may not look back, plowing and sowing, one may not look back. This one may not do. Otherwise, one has not the right direction anymore. And so Brother Branham saw how this Son of Man, the Lord himself, was sowing the seed. And when he was walking around the earth, and as he was passing by, the enemy came behind him, very cunning and sly, and was sowing his seed onto the same field. And then Brother Branham saw as a drought was coming upon everything, and everything was suffering and hanging down, and then came the clouds, and then came the rain, and then everything was revived, what was sown, the one seed as well as the other seed. And then something outstanding happened. Brother Branham laid down his Bible, and the wind opened it up at Hebrews chapter 6. And Brother Branham was reading Hebrews 6, and he put the Bible aside again and closed it. And just imagine, the wind blowed again and opened it up at Hebrews 6. And Brother Branham was once again reading Hebrews 6, and it happened once again. And then Brother Branham knew that the Lord God wanted to say something very special. And now I would like to read you from Hebrews chapter 6, just a few words to show us how important it is to receive the right seed And how important it is to read up that the Lord in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, he speaks of four different grounds. One time it's thorns, then it's stony ground, various kinds of grounds into which the seed has fallen. And then, fourthly, a good ground, no thorns, no stones, but the seed fell on fruitful ground and brought forth up to 100-fold fruit. And to this, may God give us grace, that not some stones are lying around, or thorns and thistles, and it can really be the troubles and cares of this life, which grow over us, and which want to choke the seed. Let us find grace in the sight of God, and let us cast our cares upon the Lord. We can anyhow not change anything, only He can do it, and Him we will continue to trust. Hebrews 6, from verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. Here one should actually make a long break and yet have fallen away. He doesn't speak of having made a mistake, not about having made a transgression, but of the great of the falling away. And he who wants to read up this word, he can go into the Old Testament, and he can go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it speaks of the great falling away in the end time, and when the man of sin and the lawless one will be revealed. Let us read on in verse 6. To renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. And now it comes of the field and about the rain. For the earth, which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, useful for them by whom it is cultivated, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and thistles is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So, the word of God is precious. If we tasted the powers of the world to come, wonderful. But we must abide in it. We may never open ourselves to the influence of other words of interpretations, but we must remain under the divine influence, and this up to the end. To this, I would like to read a couple of words from the Old and the New Testament. Firstly, from Genesis, chapter 12, to show us what God promised to Abraham and his seed, and how it really is from the side of God. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Not Abraham should judge those who were not kind to him. God himself does it. Here it's written, I read it again, the Lord God speaking, I will bless them that bless thee. Is this not wonderful? When we bless Israel, when we bless the spiritual seed of God, which came through Abraham, who is called our father, who is our father of faith, when we are being blessed, then God blesses those who are blessing us. He who curses us, he will be cursed by God. Here on earth, the one or the other might still get away with it. But I read you, without delay, I read you the word from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, to show us that the day will come where the ones are forever blessed and the other ones forever. One doesn't want to say it. I just read it only. Matthew 25, Matthew 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Here the blessing is spoken over all, and you must remember here the time when this will take place. This happens when the Lord, before the start of the millennial reign, before the kingdom starts, when he comes down, according to Matthew 25, verse 31, I read it, Matthew 25, from verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. In the German Bible it says bucks, but it's in the English it says goats. And then comes the statement, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. Here it is not about the rapture, but about the millennium, the kingdom which was prepared from the foundation of the world. Then we have in verse 41, the other side, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. We don't want to go into details here, but with God, one must get serious, and God wants to get serious with us. No one should think of himself that he could do what he likes, and then standing with it before God. This is just impossible, at least not with God. Then we have the special point, which we all must take heed to. Let us take the several servants of God, which at their time had received a divine calling and sending. And how after their ministries, or during their ministries, how others came on the scene to do and say something different than that what God commanded his servants. Firstly, we see Moses. Moses, you can read it in Exodus chapter 3. The calling and sending was so unique, so tremendous, it was not the consideration of a Moses, but it was really the calling of the Lord God, which was given to Moses. And to this I read you from Exodus chapter 2. The last two verses, Exodus chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Here we have heard of the covenant which God made with Abraham. And before we were reading, he who blesses you, he will be blessed by me. He who curses you, them I will curse. One must just take heed to God's rules, and knowing as it is written here, so it will be forever. That's how it will remain. Then, now we are jumping now chapters and times. Then we have in Numbers chapter 15 also a very special text, Numbers. And here we could read from chapter 15. I will also read only the last verse, Numbers 15, verse 41. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. And straight afterward comes the story with Korah and with those who joined him and who just brought trouble into the called out church and who were accusing Moses, but you are not the only one who has the right to speak. Moses had God's right. He had God's right because of a divine call, He of course didn't speak in his own name, but he received God's right to speak and to declare to the people the word. Then we see here one chapter after the other one. Abiram and some others were joining, and nothing but trouble was amongst the church. Brothers and sisters, here is the actual point. If we would only have that, what Moses experienced, then it would probably not be enough. But we have also that, what happened in the early church. Acts 20, from verse 26, and all the other scriptures, especially in Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in 1 Timothy 4, all these scriptures which speak about what kind of trouble and doctrines were presented within the church, so that various directions are coming up, causing divisions among the people. God unites, and God sends his servants and his messengers to call the people together according to the command of our Lord: gather ye my people so that I can speak to them. It was of course not Moses who wanted to speak. God wanted to speak. He just could use Moses for it. And then it comes, of course, that one must read on and one must see how it was with Balaam. Numbers 22, 23, 24. Nothing but trouble among the people of Israel, because some kind of Balak had called a Balaam to curse the children of Israel. But God said, I will curse him who curses you, and I will bless those who bless you. And now comes this man, and he shall now curse. Here it's written, Numbers 22, verse 6. Numbers 22, verse 6. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them. The enemy wants to bring defeat. He wants to cause divisions, and this may not be. We must remain standing on the side of God. And with that, we must remain with that what God had to say from his chosen mouthpiece. Then we read on. And may drive them out of the land. Yes. In the moment when God's wrath turns against his own people, then they are not safe anymore. Then the blessing is gone. And therefore, the admonition, here it continues, for I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and whom thou cursest is cursed. Yeah, it doesn't help any Balaam here to say something like this. If he is up to receive rewards of divination, this is also still a portion of Brother Branham's sermon, how he attacks the evangelists of our time. And he says, they are anointed, but they don't have the original word. And then continues, the anointing without the word is just like a rain which falls onto the tares. And this doesn't help anyone. Our beloved brother gave me recently a letter of this world-renowned charismatic and evangelist, who is a Palestinian, who was born in Palestine and who emigrated to Canada and who has a worldwide ministry. And he writes really to all who believe him. He writes, "We make a harvest contract. After all, it's about the harvest. Therefore, let us make a harvest contract. And namely, this contract shall be in a threefold way. Firstly, we make the financial contract." This is really written as the first point in that contract which this world evangelist wants to make with all those who wish to receive his newsletters. Firstly, the financial contract, the financial harvest contract. Brothers and sisters, God does not need money to save souls. This happened on the cross of Calvary. This happened on the cross of Calvary. There, everything was paid for. The ransom is the blood of the Lamb. And then, in some other things came in this contract. Coming back to Numbers 22, verse 12. "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." For they are blessed. Then it continues, and I want to come to a certain point which is written in Revelation to show it to you. Then it says here in Numbers 23, in verse 9, "For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone, and shall not be reckoned among the nations." A separated, called out people. The ecclesia, the called out church of the living God. Then, verse 19. Before, in verse 18, what did the Lord say? And then, in verse 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Is this not wonderful? God promises, he fulfills, he says it, and he does it, just as he said it. And then it says, in the last part of verse 21, "The Lord, his God, is with him, and the shout of a king is among them." And now comes something very special. In verse 23, "Surely there is no sorcery against Jacob." It is just like this. Whomever God blesses, he is blessed forever. He whom God separates remains separated. Whom God calls out, he is called out. He just belongs to the church of the firstborn. We could read other verses. Now, Numbers 24, Numbers 24, last part of verse 9. Again, it is being said, "Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that cursed thee. And then comes the prophecy
in chapter
24, verse 16 and 17. He has said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. And now it comes. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. One could read on. But then we come to a point in chapter 25, just the first part, namely the instruction of this man to bring down the wrath of God. Then it says here in Numbers 25, verse 1, and Israel abode in Sittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And this was the falling away. The falling away from the one true and living God, besides whom there is no other. And there were, I was really reading something in a newsletter of a well-known man in this country, in the south of our country, who wanted to send a special prayer up to God. And he said something like this: Holy Spirit, you know the Father the best. I would like that you speak to him. This one must imagine. This one has to imagine. Yes, brothers and sisters, the grace which God has given us in the revelation of Jesus Christ is very glorious and great and wonderful. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, even the deep things of God. But the folly of the people is just manifested because they believe the lie, and because they don't believe the truth, therefore God has sent them strong delusion. They can even speak about the working of God. Blindness is blindness. Deception is deception. Truth is truth. God's word is God's word. Interpretation is interpretation. And the time of interpretations is really over, because God has revealed unto us the meaning of his word. Now just quickly, the jump into the New Testament. If in the New Testament nothing would have been written about Balaam, then I would not have to have read you from the Old Testament. But here, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 2, in the message to the church in Pergamos, we are told in verse 14, Revelation 2, verse 14, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Here we have the view in the New Testament back to the Old Testament to show wherein the deception and the beguiling came among the people of God. And this in a time where the prophet of God was still in their midst. Brothers and sisters, if when we look into the end time message, and I'm not saying this out of criticism, but simply say this because I'm obligated to the truth. One must pay attention to what God truly has said in his word. Just imagine, there a man is writing very sincerely, the Bible is like a lemon which was pressed out, and the message is the juice which we have. Yes. And then one must take really a deep breath to remain alive. No, in the Bible remains what is in the Bible. And the revealed word is the written word. And the written word is the living word, the revealed word. God will never go beyond his word, but always will work and act according to his word. Now we have here the matter with Balaam, and he who likes to read up here the works of the Nicolaitans, and then comes the prophetess Jezebel to it, and then it continues and on the examples from the Old Testament are given in the New Testament to make us aware that we really must abide in the word of truth, not letting us by any man to be driven away from it. Whether now somebody comes and says he is a prophet, here's the point. And I want that you take heed to it. Nowhere is written, also here not, that some hold to the prophecy of Balaam. Nothing is written of that. They stick to the doctrine of Balaam. The prophecy was right. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. I see him. I see him. But not now. But I see him now. This was the prophecy. The prophecy is true. The prophecy is prophecy. And therefore it's written here, who hold to the doctrine of Balaam. Brothers and sisters, the word of prophecy is always true. That's how it is written. In 2 Peter chapter 1, from verse 19, and there is also written that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. But just follow it up of how many interpretations and doctrines were made about the word. And there is the point. The mistake is not in the word, not in the prophecy of the scripture. The mistake is in all the interpretations and false doctrines which were passed on to the people. And this we must just recognize also in this our time. That what God said in his word is forever true. But what have people made out of it? Just think of the three first places in Genesis. In Genesis 1 verse 26, it's written, let us make man. In Genesis 3 verse 23, it's written, and man has become like one of us. And then, in chapter 11, verse 7, let us go down and see whether it is like this. Three times us, three times the word us. And if one leaves the word as it is, then everything is wonderful. But if one interprets it and says, oh, this us, oh, this us, it could mean the Godhead. We have nothing to do with it could. We only have to do with the thus saith the Lord, with this wonderful word. The interpretations, I will also have to write about it. The interpretations, we must leave once and for all for others, because they are causing the falling away from God and are causing unbelief among the people of God. It is written, and this the lips of our Lord said, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Where did Paul, where did Peter, where did John interpret the let us make man to the Godhead? Not a single time. And we abide with that, what the Holy Scripture has said. Where could someone have come up with a thought when the Lord God says, now the men have become like we are. I don't need to explain the us at all. I know it and you know it also. But God is one from eternity to eternity. And therefore, God must have spoken to those who were present. And this one can read up to Job 38, verse 6. So, when God reveals his word, when God fulfills promises on earth, when God leads out, when God calls out, then always a prophetic message is connected with it, and always the fulfillment of that what God promised. But right at that time, we must take heed. We must be careful where and how the interpretations are setting in. For instance, if somebody writes, I believe that the Lord has descended in 1963, and that Revelation 10 is already fulfilled, then I must have the right to say, friend, not like this, not like this. And if such a man then even refers to the statement of Brother Branham, which he made on the 17th of March 1963, then the thing gets serious. And then we are being tested whether we really believe as the scripture has said. This must be emphasized, brothers and sisters. Of course, Brother Branham was living in the expectation that it takes place. Has Paul not lived also in the expectation? Has not our Lord said in Matthew 16 at the end, many of those who are here shall not see or taste death until they have seen the kingdom of God? Is it not written also in Mark 9? And in Luke, there's the same thing. One must just know where it belongs, how it was meant, and one must refrain from every interpretation. There's not one interpretation which comes from God, but it comes all from the enemy. God reveals the meaning, not the interpretation. And this we must believe forever with all our hearts. So, not the prophecy of Balaam. This was correct. But not his teaching, which he gave to the people of Israel. And he said, we are all the same. We all have the same God. This is ecumenism. This is spiritual fornication. And therefore, God had to bring death among his people. It was the falling away from the living God. Brothers and sisters, what is today? How many Balaams are around? And they are all quoting the Holy Scripture. The Holy Scripture is always true. Doesn't matter who is quoting it. And when one reads the announcement of the Vatican that the multitude at the Sea of Glass are the overcomers, then this is correct. Nothing against it. We don't want to go now into these points. I just wanted to say with this, brothers and sisters, when the Bible is being quoted, then it is right in the context in which the word is written. Also Matthew 28 is right. Mark 16 is right. Everything is correct there where it is written. And in the context in which it belongs. But the one's own interpretation, we must reject, and this with all our seriousness. With all seriousness. Brothers and sisters, God did not forgive the people of Israel after they have heard the prophetic message, after they experienced the calling out, the leading out, crossing the Red Sea as over dry land, and the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud being with them and coming down upon the tabernacle. And then comes somebody along who has no divine call at all, no divine sending, no divine message. And then comes somebody along and he shall curse what God has blessed. God was so merciful that he laid his words into the mouth of this man so that he must speak out what God wanted. Brothers and sisters, very important to differentiate what is God's word in the original and what interpretations are presented by men. And so we have the warning in the New Testament, as we were reading in Revelation chapter 2 about Balaam. And such people were in the early church. Now I'm asking you, how long ago was it since the days of Moses when Balaam came on the scene? And then in the New Testament, in the early church, there comes forth a movement which is according to the pattern of Balaam. For us, not comprehensible. We are asking us, how was it possible? And he who goes to 1 Corinthians 15, he will find out that some were preaching that the resurrection has taken place already. And others were preaching that one should be baptized for the dead. Already in the early church were men who were under a false inspiration and who were misused by the enemy to bring false teachings into the church. Do you think things have changed? Everything has remained the same. The calling out has taken place. The leading out is taking place. God has his has his way with his church. But we must be careful who comes along. As Paul has written, when somebody cometh along, that's how it is written, then he might well bear with him. We need no one who sometime cometh along. We need the word of God in the original, out of a commissioned mouth in our time. And we believe out of conviction, based upon the Holy Scripture, that God, foreordained Brother Branham from his birth to be a chosen tool in his hand, really, with a message to forerun the second coming of Christ. The message should forerun. We believe this out of conviction. Not just the one part of Brother Branham. He says here, many evangelists have sown their own seed, not the spoken word as it was at the beginning. And he's warning with the words, look to the promises that God gave his body, the body of Christ. His body is to do the same, because the body and the head belongs together. If Christ is the head, the word, then his body has to be the same word as the head. The church is a church of the word, born of the word seed. She's virgin born from the word, not a denomination, virgin born from the word. Then it continues. Brother Branham heard the voice, pick up your pen and write. And this was given to me when the Spirit said, and here is what I'm trying to say to you. The law of reproduction brings forth after its own kind. Genesis 1, verse 11. These last days, the true bride church comes to the headstone. It will be a glorious, he says, it will be a super church, a super race, as they near the great headstone. They will be much like him, so much like him, even they will be in his very image, in the order to be united with him. They will be one. They will be the very manifestation of the word of the living God. Brothers and sisters, God spoke wonderful things through the mouth of Brother Branham and has led us back to the word, back to the promises, so that we can become a word bride, born again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. With Calvary, the reckoning took place with the old man. The old man is gone, because God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. And in the blood of the Lamb, we have the full forgiveness, the full reconciliation. We have found peace with God. This is the end of our old life. But where is the beginning of the new life? There must come a seed, and in the seed is the germ of life, and this germ of life must spring up, it must come forth, and therefore the sermon is just necessary. And in the summary, it may be said here, we are preaching the full gospel, and we are waiting that it is being manifested in our midst, that the word of the cross becomes the power of God, that sinners get saved, that the captives get set free, and that the sick ones are healed. About this, Brother Branham speaks here in this brochure, a couple of pages long, and he says, through the church will happen what happened through Christ, the head. But here's the point. We must come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We must become one heart and one soul. No one may look askance at the other one anymore, thinking by himself, oh my beloved brother, oh my dear sister. Let us be careful on our words, on our thoughts. Let us be careful. As we have heard in the word of introduction, let us consider one another to provoke and stir up one another to good works, and so much more as we see the day of Christ approaching. Brothers and sisters, we have truly arrived at the end of the end time. We have heard the prophetic message, which includes the full gospel, with all the promises, with everything, what God wants to do in His great plan of salvation. Let us take care that no strange doctrines, no doctrines of Balaam, nothing ecumenical creeps in. Oh, we are all brothers. No, we are all Christians. You know where the word Christ belongs. The anointed one, the anointed of God. The word Christ is the word Mashiach, the anointed one, the anointed one of God. And he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he went out and was doing good things, and was setting free all who were bound by the devil, and all were healed. Brothers and sisters, if the word of God becomes true in our midst, that we are the bride, then may the anointing of the Holy Spirit come upon us in a way no less than it was manifested then. For it is Jesus Christ as the body, who through his body is at work. And therefore, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And not only an anointing, but an indwelling according to the promise, I will be with you, I will be in you until the end of the world. And so we thank God for all the scriptures, for all the teaching. Please don't forget it. If somebody is quoting the word or is repeating certain statements, then the statements and the word are as they are. But if they are being taken out of context, and if a doctrine is made out of it, then it is an interpretation, and the falling away from God has started. And what then? What is left then? Just that the wrath of God comes upon all who did not receive the love for the truth. I beg you in Christ's stead, two times I beg you. Firstly, be ye reconciled with God. And secondly, receive the truth of the word by faith. Because that's how it is written. Because they did not receive the love of the truth, therefore God sent them strong delusion. May God give a direct love, a connection to his word, that we receive his word into us, and then it is fulfilled, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We thank God for all the words, and we thank God also for the tests. And at the end, a bride church will be prepared, which went through all the tests, and she will come from believing unto seeing, as Paul has written in Ephesians 5, verse 26, that a bride will appear before the throne without spot and without wrinkle. May God give us grace that she is purified from all spots in the flesh and in the spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb and sanctified in the word of truth for the glory of God, and by this experiencing our perfection and preparation by grace. Hear this, ye people, this is God's counsel for the church in this time. These are God's promises which he is fulfilling now, and we as the church may experience everything by his grace. To him, the Almighty God, be the glory, the praise, and the adoration with all our hearts and with all our souls. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us thank the Lord together. Maybe our two sisters have a song which they can sing for us to lead us into prayer. If you have a song, please come to the front, and we all want now already to be joined in prayer, joined in the faith. I did not speak for myself. I spoke for the church in the name of the Lord, and God's word will accomplish for what he has sent it for.
In Auen so reich und so grün, bahnt Gott seinen Kindern den Weg, wo das Wasser kühl fließet, erfrischend und schön, bahnt Gott seinen Kindern den Weg. Manche durchs Wasser, sogar durch die Flut, manche durchs Feuer, doch alle durchs Blut. Durch Not und Sorgen, doch Gott gibt ein Lied. Bei Nacht und Tage zur Seite er mir steht. Auf bergigen Höhen, wo die Sonne so lag, bahnt Gott seinen Kindern den Weg. Und auch durch die Täler im Dunkel der Nacht bahnt Gott seinen Kindern den Weg. Manche durchs Wasser, sogar durch die Flut, manche durchs Feuer, doch alle durchs Blut. Durch Not und Sorgen, doch Gott gibt ein Lied. Bei Nacht und Tage zur Seite er mir steht.
Amen.
Wenn Sorg uns befällt und der Feind uns anficht, bahnt Gott seinen Kindern den Weg. Durch Gnad sind wir siegreich, erscheinet sein Licht. Gott bahnt seinen Kindern den Weg. manche durchs Wasser, sogar durch die Flut, manche durchs Feuer, doch alle durchs Blut. Durch Not und Sorgen, doch Gott gibt ein Lied, bei Nacht und Tage zur Seite mir steht. Manche durchs Wasser, sogar durch die Flut, manche durchs Feuer, doch alle durchs Blut. Durch Not und Sorgen, doch Gott gibt ein Lied, bei Nacht und Tage zur Seite mir steht.
Amen. Amen. Gelobt sei der Name des Herrn.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us pray. We are bringing all our requests to the Lord God. We want to do like Abraham did, not looking unto the things which can be seen, not unto circumstances, not unto troubles, but telling everything to the Lord, and He will make it well. Let us raise together our voice. Let us thank God, ever faithful God. We are thanking You with all our hearts for the full redemption, for the deliverance, for the forgiveness, for the grace, for the salvation. Manifest Thy power and Thy glory. Confirm Thy word, Thy word, Thy word, among and in Your people. Save, heal, deliver, O great God. You have visited Your people graciously. We believe Your word. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ sei Gott. Christ sei Gott. Christ sei Gott. Hallelujah. 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 Christ sei Gott. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ sei Gott. Himmel fängt uns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ sei Gott. Christ sei Gott. Hallelujah. 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 Christ.
Hallelujah. Christ. Christ.
singen wir gemeinsam, oh, es ist Jesus.
Let us sing together, oh, it is Jesus. Brothers and sisters, dear friends, the united prayer is only then disturbing if one himself doesn't tune in it. If one himself is thanking the Lord, then the thanking of the brother or the sister next to him doesn't disturb. Then we just have God before our eyes and are bringing Him the thanks which is due to Him for that what He has done. But for all the friends who are newly added, to them we just want to say, the first time it's always like this, that everything is new. The second time it's a bit better. And the third time all are feeling already at home and are being blessed together with us. Just take a seat now for a couple of minutes. I just wanted to say, if there are prayer requests, if there are brothers and sisters have a direct need, and that if you have confidence that God will hear our prayers together, then you can stay behind now. Here are brothers who will pray also under the laying on of hands, praying with anointing, with oil. It depends how you receive it by faith. If somebody is convinced that it must be done according to James chapter 5, then one cannot deal with him according to Mark 16. If somebody settled in his heart to be prayed for according to Mark 16, just feel free at this place. The Spirit of God can work in such a way as He pleases. Here nothing is done according to a certain scheme or pattern, but here we are available to God to act according to His Word. Even every healing which our Lord did was different. No healing happened according to a certain pattern. Not a single one. Not a single one. Everything happened as it was right at that moment. In Bethesda, one was healed. He took his bed and went home. On another place, 10 lepers were cleansed. One came back, and the others went their ways. Time again it happened. Then he laid on hands to the one he laid on hands two times. At the first time, he saw men like trees. And at the second time, he saw the men very normally. Brothers and sisters, God can do what He likes. We are available for Him. But this you must know. The time is here that God's word is confirmed. The time is just here. We cannot just come along, just hearing and coming. We must come and experience what God's word tells us. Do you all believe it? Have you firmly decided in your hearts just to believe what the scripture says? Say amen. Amen. Please, brothers.